Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Aram, also known as Syria, was a prominent neighboring kingdom to Israel. It was located in the region corresponding to present-day Syria and parts of modern-day Turkey and Lebanon. The kingdom had several major cities, including Damascus, which served as its capital and a hub of trade and commerce. Aram was known for its military might and strategic importance in the ancient Near East. It boasted a strong army and skilled warriors who played a prominent role in regional conflicts. The Arameans, the people of Aram, were renowned for their chariots and cavalry. During Bible times, the relationship between Aram and Israel was characterized by a mix of cooperation, conflict, and shifting alliances. At certain points, Aram and Israel engaged in military alliances against common enemies. For example, during the reign of King David, he established friendly relations with the Aramean king, Hadadezer, and together they fought against the Ammonites and other regional powers. However, the relationship between Aram and Israel was often marked by conflicts and tensions. Aram sought to expand its territory and exert influence over the Israelite kingdom. There were numerous skirmishes and battles between the two nations. Ahab, the Israelite king, faced multiple confrontations with the Arameans. The biblical account, in 1 Kings 20, describes a series of clashes between Ahab's forces and the Aramean army. Although Ahab initially suffered a defeat, he eventually gained the upper hand in a subsequent battle, causing significant casualties among the Arameans. After the death of Ahab, his son Ahaziah took the throne in Israel. However, Ahaziah's reign was short-lived, and he continued to face hostilities from Aram. It was during this time that Naaman, a valiant and mighty warrior, highly regarded by his king, became the commander of the Aramean army. However, he suffered from a skin disease, commonly regarded by the people as leprosy, which was a serious affliction in ancient times. It was a source of humiliation for the mighty warrior. And, given that it was a progressive illness, he worried that his days leading the Aramean army were numbered. From time to time, the Arameans would launch surprise attacks against the Israelites. Their raids were primarily aimed at capturing spoils, including livestock, crops, and valuable possessions. They would often invade Israelite territories, especially along the border regions, to pillage and plunder. These raids not only caused significant economic damage, but also instilled fear and insecurity among the Israelite population. On one such raid, a little girl was taken captive. She was claimed by Naaman to work in service of his wife. After time, despite being kidnapped, the little girl came to endear herself to the family with which she lived and worked. Still, while she came to respect and even think fondly of her captors, she never forgot the God of Israel, about whom she had been taught since her birth. One day, she approached her mistress.
I hate to see my master suffering like that. I wish he would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy.
Naaman went straight to the king of Aram and reported what the girl from Israel had said.
Go directly to Samaria to King Jehoram. I will prepare a letter for you to take to him.
Naaman journeyed to Israel with the letter from his master. He also carried a caravan of gifts, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. When Jehoram, the king of Israel, received the letter, he tore his clothes in distress, fearing that the request was a ploy to provoke a war. But the prophet Elisha, hearing of the king's distress, sent a message, instructing him to send Naaman to him. So Naaman, accompanied by his horses, chariots, and an entourage, arrived at Elisha's doorstep. Elisha, knowing of Naaman's arrival, didn't even bother to meet him in person but instead sent Gehazi, his servant, with a message.
Commander, Naaman. Greetings. I know that you have come here seeking healing. My master has instructed me to tell you to go and wash, in the Jordan River, 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean.
Naaman was flabbergasted.
What is this?
This is the word of the man of God.
And where is this man of God? Is he not coming out to speak with me?
He is not. These are his instructions. This is what you are to do.
With that, the servant bowed his head slightly and returned to the house. Naaman was furious.
I thought he would personally come out and meet me, call on the name of his God, wave his hand over the diseased spot, and get rid of the leprosy. Instead, he sends me to wash myself in the dirty Jordan River. Though is he supposed that my sores are dirt marks? Though is he think that my problem is a lack of hygiene? The Damascus rivers, Abana and Pharpar, are cleaner by far than any of the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I am disgusted. Humiliated. The insolence of this charlatan prophet.
Incensed, Naaman turned away from the prophet's house and headed back toward Aram. However, the governor of his household caught up with him and entreated him to stop.
My father, Naaman, if the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he has said to you, wash and be clean? What harm is there in at least doing what he says?
So, swallowing his pride, Naaman rode to the Jordan and stepped into the river. He was tentative at first, not fully believing that the water would do anything for him. Finally, after thinking about it for some time, he immersed his body fully in the water. When he came up, he inspected himself. No change.
No change. There is no change.
The prophet instructed that you must wash 7 times.
Okay, okay.
Naaman immersed himself again, 2, 3, and then 6 times.
Still nothing. No change at all. I thought it might be a gradual thing, but all this dipping and nothing.
My lord, one more time.
As he emerged from the water, for the final time, his skin was restored, clean and free from any trace of leprosy. At first, Naaman could not believe it. He ran his hands over his arms. The scabs and sores were gone. There were no ugly splotches. But not only was there no trace of leprosy. His body, bruised and calloused from years of war, was transformed. His skin felt like that of a newborn. And even on his face, there were no wrinkles. Overwhelmed by this miraculous healing, Naaman summoned his entire company to return to Elisha to express his deep gratitude and to acknowledge the God of Israel as the one true God. Filled with gratitude, Naaman offered gifts and riches to Elisha, but the prophet refused. Elisha wanted Naaman to understand that this miracle was not for sale or barter, but a gift from the one true God. Naaman then made a solemn vow to worship only the Lord, promising to never again offer sacrifices to other gods. The story of Naaman points forward to the redemptive work of Jesus, who offers forgiveness, healing, and salvation to all who come to him in faith. It reminds us of the power and grace of Jesus' ministry and how he transforms lives by his love and mercy. Just as Naaman was cleansed from his physical leprosy, Jesus offers spiritual cleansing and healing to all who come to him. The Jordan River, in this story, symbolizes the waters of baptism, where believers experience a washing away of their sins through faith in Jesus. More than 800 years later, Jesus himself would be baptized in the waters of that very same Jordan River. Additionally, Naaman's initial reluctance to follow Elisha's instructions parallels humanity's initial resistance to receiving God's salvation through Jesus. Naaman initially dismissed the simplicity of the prophet's instructions, but when he humbled himself and obeyed, he was healed. Similarly, we are called to humble ourselves, repent of our sins, and trust in Jesus for salvation. The end.